welcome to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And what is Idle Red Hands Weekly? It is a one-sided relationship where one person extends emotional energy, interest, and time, and the other party, the persona, is completely unaware of the other's existence. It expands the social network in a way that negates the chance of rejection and empowers individuals to model and identify with individuals of their choosing who naturally elicit an empathetic response. For some, the one-sided relationship is a relief from the strained complementary relationships in their real lives.
What is that from? Is that like the relationship between like a YouTube content provider and audience?
Yeah, it's a school of sociology that kind of started in the 50s. Okay. So probably based around television mostly, okay. But I'm sure there was also radio, but it's a parasociology. So it's a distant one-sided sociology and how people are interacting and kind of responding to something that doesn't give them any feedback, that doesn't change. They see it as sympathetic, you know, just like when you watch a sitcom and you're like, oh, I love being in these people's houses or at this coffee shop with all my friends. It is a relationship and it has a psychological effect on people. And what is that? And it's interesting now that we have social media and everything, and it's become more advanced, but it's actually been studied for more than 50 years. There's a lot of interest, especially from the 80s, there's a lot of interesting studies that talk about how people are seeing things and how they're kind of modeling their behavior based on things. Also, of course, advertisers have picked up on this and figured out how can we exploit the sympathy or the, you know, kind of empathy that people are having in these relationships to sell them things.
It's kind of funny that you brought that up because for whatever reason, I've been listening to ASMR YouTube things. Right. The thing I mentioned before, it helps drown out the noise at work, especially between like arguing employees that sit really close to me. And you saying that some of the videos are kind of either intentionally or not mimicking personal attention. Mm-hmm. And the comments, just some of the ones that pop up, the people commenting act like it's personal attention or that they have some kind of relationship. I mean, not all of them, but I've seen enough comments where I go, oh, okay, sure. On the one hand, I mean, I listen to these videos and I'm aware that, okay, this is kind of not real in a sense, but I can see how people would think it is or kind of, you know, kind of get mixed up or kind of whatever, kind of get confused about how they do have a relationship with this person who is not actually interacting with them.
Right. They're basically whispering in your ear in a very gentle, intimate way. So just the tone, even if you couldn't, if they were speaking a foreign language that you didn't understand, the tone of it and the feeling of it would instantly like soften you. So you don't get any of the tingles, though.
I do, kind of. Really? Some, like, they're YouTube videos, so I can't really, like, put them on my phone with headphones because I have a toddler, which means you kind of, like, can't listen to stuff at night because what if they wake up, you know?
Right.
There's some kind of a small effect that I'm getting that's probably minimized by the fact that I am in an office environment with arguing employees, and so there's other sound coming in. But I see how it would work. It doesn't put me to sleep, but I haven't been in a situation to actually try it.
Mm-hmm. That trend, that fad of those videos, because they're intimate and there's a level of very mild sexuality to them because, you know, you are in close physical contact in your, like, ear space. Mm-hmm. With somebody. And it's funny how it's walked that line that, you know, YouTube and some of these are trying to, like, careful about how close this actually gets to being stimulating, to being something that, you know, people can become attracted to beyond just, like, its utility as relaxation or as, you know, brain tingles.
Brain tingles. There's apparently a whole school or group of stuff that does go into erotic.
Yes, right.
And I tried to find it and haven't really found anything. In addition to that, most of the videos are attractive young women in somewhat suggestive or low-cut outfits. And my feeling is it's not sex work, but it's kind of like similar to my feeling on sex work, where if you can set this up and if you can get money from people and if you can build an audience, why the hell not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's a whole new parasociological, you know, relationship that people form in this way, that they do get some satisfaction of the intimacy and, you know, with a attractive young woman and not any of the other stuff, you know, any of the uncomfortable stuff that is the reason they avoid it in their real
lives. They don't have to actually maintain a relationship.
Right.
I've tracked down male voices and it sounds like something you would hear in a horror movie. In terms of, like, the whispering one, or at least for me personally, that's what it sounds like. I'm like, whoa, this is creepy. It sounds like ghost voices in some kind of, like, bad horror movie. So, no. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there's also probably something, a maternal response that we're getting because
probably.
I'm sure from infants, you know, that your mother's voice that close, you know, you didn't have that from your father, and especially, you know, there's no breastfeeding involved or anything, so you didn't have that kind of intimacy.
We are now straying into areas that I'm uncomfortable talking about.
Okay, let's cut it.
I brought it up, but let's bring it back to TTRPGs.
Yes, so some kind of maternal response, period.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there's a whole sunken iceberg of stuff we could be discussing about this, probably.
So this is going to be our 7-hour weekly cast. So what have you been doing this week?
Apart from recovering from having 2 wisdom teeth extracted, sucked, right. I have been slowly developing my joke RPG, Hot Alien Survivors on Planet Dinosaur.
Nice.
There's now a character creation table that shows you what kind of personality species, air quote, and skill mm-hmm. you have. I've made a list of appropriate outfits that you start with, nice. As well as name suggestions.
Oh, cool.
I've also come to the conclusion that I can't do any of the sort of misogynistic main character dude without turning it into satire and including it. Mm. It's one of those things you either have to like include as commentary and maybe even a separate page that goes, hey, this is satire and we're exploring this stuff, or you have to completely not include it.
Right.
And not including it, in my opinion, just turns this into any other kind of survivor game. So yeah, I'm looking for ways to include it and make it mechanically relevant. And a stupid little game about lingerie animal girls riding dinosaurs has now turned into commentary on gender roles.
Right.
I think because it kind of has to.
It's very brave of you, though, to do something satirical in this day and age, because it's going to go over a lot of people's heads and they're like, I love this game because
if that's the case, like reading those Tamer books, like if you unironically love these, I don't know if I want to talk to you. So what have you been up to?
I've been catching up on Inktober. Yeah. Kind of got derailed after coming back from Okinawa. I was pretty wrecked. So about a week behind, but I think I should, by the end of the month, be able to catch up. I was just doing my kind of A4 white paper to the smaller A6, was like a postcard size of sketches. So what I would do like for sketch cards at the show, I like the little intimate kind of compositions and things. I think those are working better on Instagram for some reason.
Cool. Yeah.
And especially if I'm composing things, like Instagram wants to put it in a square.
It does.
So, I don't like that.
Yeah, so. No, that's real annoying. You either get like a square or like a 4-3 ratio kind of thing with bits on the edge.
Right.
Yeah. Years ago when I tried to do Inktober and got about halfway through the month, I was doing it on business cards.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I said, I don't have that much time, business card. I also set myself a time limit. I'm like, okay, even 1 hour to get one of these cards done.
Mm,
and because otherwise I tend to plan for way too long and things drag out, which is why I never get anything else done.
So it's all inspirational kind of drawings and motivational drawings for the Citizen Spaceman series that I'm doing. And I'm really starting to get addicted to that, just like, because those are the images, a lot of the plotting and a lot of the story that I've come up with, it's just based on these images that kind of get stuck in my head. And this is a point, the story needs to get to this point. And this is how these things fit together. And so doing that in the smaller way, just writing a line and having an image is very inspirational. And it's almost becoming like, oh, could this just be a thing?
It could.
Yeah, right. Something that I heard about that we've talked about in previous cast that was a little bit disappointing was the Reclaimer Kickstarter. So they announced a few days back now that the campaign has been canceled.
Yep.
No backers will be charged. Development of the game will continue, and they're going to be back in 2020. But they've experienced what they called a disaster that they can't quickly recover from.
Right.
So basically, the creator of the game approached an artist and requested some photobashed artwork. Mm-hmm. Maybe not having any previous experience with the artist, or maybe this artist not being completely reliable for this cyberpunk setting. He went to a basically cyberpunk cosplay photographer and lifted a photo that was, it's basically most of the work is done for you. You can tell from the image itself that it was basically a cosplay photo. And photographers, especially amateur photographers, are very sensitive about having their work co-opted. So immediately it showed up. That wasn't a great choice. And that is not an image that, they were even offering to be licensed. Right, so it was just lifted from, Google Images or.
No, when I read the update, because I think a couple days or at least a day or two before that announcement, the creator of Reclaimer had a tweet that said, TFW, that feeling when you find out you might have to cancel your Kickstarter.
Mm.
Then, what I read is when the artist was approached initially, they seemed trustworthy. And I'm not saying they're not. They seemed trustworthy because they told the Kickstarter, owner or creator, great, I can't use this image because I don't have the rights for it.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that exchange, the creator of the Kickstarter assumed that all of the images that would then be used, the artist did have licenses to use them, or at least knew enough to not use uncredited stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I also read that part of the reason why they canceled the entire campaign rather than just pulling the image, they had used that image for publicity, and it was like part of the big splash page, and it was the image that would have to have been removed was so tied to the advertising and I guess just whole presence of the campaign, they couldn't do it.
Right.
So the kind of only, I guess, moral or ethical answer was to cancel the Kickstarter, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a shame, because I think there's bad thinking going on. A lot of people that are working in concept art, and so they work for studios and they just crank out images to do designs for costumes and races and settings and things and vehicles and weapons design. A lot of that work now, people are scavenging, like they'll use 3D models or they'll just use source photography. And basically they're just photo bashing everything, because this work is never going to be published. I mean, maybe it'll be an art book will be released done of a project, but you're getting a salary, and all these hundreds of images that you're cranking out for these studios, they just keep and they just, no. So most of the work is just, never seen, but you don't own it. You know, you can put it on a portfolio, but you have no right to it. So of course people are just using whatever, it's just like using your favorite song for background music. They just work with things that they like or that inspired them. So that trend has kind of bled into people thinking, well, maybe that's okay now, and not being clear that no, you're publishing a commercial project, and you've got to make sure, and especially as sensitive as photographers are, you can't even do anything that is even identifiable as their work.
Well, I will say that the creator of the Reclaimer game didn't throw the artist under the bus.
That's good.
I thought that was nice, and also didn't give any specifics on what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know who, if anyone, is at fault. I mean, maybe the artist thought they had rights to this and then it only came out later. But I think another contributing factor to the effect you just mentioned is Pinterest and Google image search, and sometimes how difficult it can be to find the credits for the original creator of something.
Yeah, that's true.
It gets into the whole thing of social media and quote retweets and reposting art. And as many artists as I follow on Twitter, they often enough people have said don't repost my art.
Yeah.
Or looking at stuff where, hey, a retweet by a celebrity or whatever has magnitude more likes and interactions than the original person who did it. And I think that, as I said, is a contributing factor as well, where even if you kind of don't have the rights to something, sometimes you're just going to go, I can't find it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too difficult to find it from all the Google image search and Pinterest things that pop up. So I'm just going to kind of do it.
Right.
But I mean, there is any number of royalty or license free stock photo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's not great, but I mean, stuff is getting better.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, no, that's true. The funny thing about this, too, unprotected copyright, if something is just out there and reused and reused and reused as a meme, and it's not defended, you don't have a legal team going out taking it down, an unprotected copyright can create public domain.
Right.
So that's a weird situation that we're in now, when people are, especially with visual memes and things that are just being circulated, and like you said, they are so far removed from the original creator that it's like, wow, we're getting really close to SpongeBob SquarePants being in the public domain because of how memeable he is.
Until Disney swoops in and said, no, this is ours, and we're going to pay our legal team to make sure that happens.
Right, right. Interesting times. Another thing that happened this week that I forgot to mention is Lyle and I are going to split the Blood of the Phoenix box. So
who's getting blood and who's getting Phoenix?
I guess I'm getting.
is that the new thing you ask couples? Who's blood? Who's Phoenix?
Yeah. Right. Yes, that's how you decide. Yeah, I guess he's getting Phoenix or he's he's. So I'm the bloody the bloody vicious part. So yeah, I'll be the Dark Elder, the Drukhari side. And I hadn't paid much attention to those models and always just heard people say BDSM, elves, space. Elves.
That's what they are. That is what they are.
But these new models, the new plastic is great. Yeah. And these are things that have been either only in metal or fine cast for a while. And the two HQs, the two characters, are the first time they've had this kind of plastic treatment where the 3D modeling. So they've got the
swirling
one point of contact with the base. And this is amazing pose. So that should be fun. So we will be splitting it. We'll probably unbox that then too, so everybody can take a look. And then also that book, the first book of the Psychic Awakenings, which is the event that's happening now in 40K, Phoenix Rising. So that's got new rules for all of the Eldar-based races. Yeah, so now there's three factions, basically, that are playable as Eldar, Eldari.
Really interesting. Okay, I was going to say, using the old ones, it was Eldar, Dark Elder, and Exodites.
Oh, right. And I think it's similar to that, because at the end of 7th edition, the Eldari played a big role in bringing Gilliman back and everything. So that's when they created this third, the followers of basically like Exodites. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically the people that are outside of the craft world.
And I played Dark Eldar in 3rd and 4th edition because Horde Armies is the only thing I did, apparently. Tyranids and Dark Eldar. And yeah, they are straight up BSD. I got it wrong. Anyway.
BDSM.
Thank you. They are BDSM elves. Mm. Like, that's what they are. There's so many hooks, and putting those things together were a pain in the butt because you stick yourself. You're like, oh, come on. I'm just trying to put, like, these torso on those legs. Why are there so many points on this thing? Wasn't that impressed with the old models.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were playing Kill Team, I looked at the Drukhari, and I'm like, all we got is Dark Eldar warriors and witches, and that doesn't seem that interesting. So I'll be interested to see the new models. Mm-hmm. Not getting sucked back into it.
That box is a little controversial because it's the most expensive box that they've done, but this is also the first time they've done plastic Screaming Banshees and then the Dark Eldar troops. So this is the first time, the first time that they're in plastic. So Games Workshop always hits you really hard with something they've just paid to tool molds for. So the price is going to be very high. But then also the joke was that some of the Eldari vehicles in there are old enough to drink.
Falcon grab tank.
So that was a little bit of the frustration. Is like you're paying a premium, you're getting their new hotness, and it's the only place you can get it, but you're also getting some old junk that, you know, people have been trading back and forth on eBay for 20 years.
It's Games Workshop. What do people expect? What do they want?
You're right. Surprise.
Exactly.
Yes. Speaking of miniatures, Modiphius just announced they are going to do, I guess they've had a lot of success with their Star Trek and John Carter miniatures. So they're going to do 32mm Vampire the Masquerade miniatures.
Hmm.
I don't know what that would be exactly.
That was my, I don't know what it would be. Because I guess, actually haven't seen the Star Trek or John Carter miniatures, but there are kind of, and I guess it would apply for Vampire too, like iconic character types for those two types of properties where you could go, oh yeah, here's your four-armed ape, here's your kind of, you know, helium warrior with their harness, and here's some Federation officers. But for Vampire, I mean, I guess you kind of have your iconic clan kind of representatives, you know, the Ventru would look like, guy in a corporate suit, you know, that kind of thing.
It'll be out in spring 2020. And I think you're right, though. They're probably going to follow that same model. Because for Star Trek, that's what they did. They did original series crew, next generation crew.
And they actually did characters.
Yeah, they did characters. Yeah. So they did do, you know, recognizable characters. And I think that is probably part of the success is, you know, that people haven't seen Captain Kirk in 32mm before. So they got it all excited. And same with John Carter. I mean, there's been people that have been like, Steve Cart.
Red Martian Warrior, Green Martian Warrior.
So you've had some old school, people do some John Carter, but this is licensed John Carter, and they did a pretty good job. I mean, it's not too generic. It doesn't have that look of, oh, I can see the model that they, you know, sculpted on top of the generic
armature,
male human, thing that they
I wonder who owns it. I mean, tangent, but I wonder who owns John Carter of Mars IP. Disney? Since they did the movie?
I think they have.
Of course.
I can't, because I should be looking in the little block of text at the bottom. But I think so. I mean, they have the rights at least. But I mean, it's out of.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Old as those books are, there should be public domain now.
Yeah, the original text of the books is public domain. But I think like the characters or the there's things that can still be held by
maybe
the estate.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And so that's what was licensed.
I guess it's the same with Conan.
Right.
I mean, like, even though some of his stories are in the books about him are in the public domain, the character is still kind of owned by someone. Yeah.
And the character, I think, joined the Avengers in Marvel Comics.
Well, I mean,
and he shot a gun and said, I prefer a sword. And like,
yeah, you look back and Conan's been in a lot of comic books. Yeah.
Yeah, so I keep getting these stupid comic book headlines about what Conan is doing in the Marvel Universe. I'm like, this is really disappointing.
From the 25th until November 1st, Magpie Games is having a 25% off sale on all the Bluebeard's Bride material.
Oh, nice.
That's the feminist horror game based on Powered by the Apocalypse system put out by Whitney Strix, Beltrain, Marissa Kelly, and Sarah Richardson. Haven't played it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got all of the books except for the Book of Lore, but there's a deal where you can buy everything for a little over $100. It's like four hardbacks, like three decks of cards, and I'm like,
Kind of wish I had waited until now, right. To the point where I'm like, can I give my books to anyone so I can buy this brand new set? I don't know. But that's another game, just like Girl Underground, where we have to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't gotten a chance to yet.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so anybody interested. So we'll put a link, of course, to that.
Oh, and I should mention, you don't need any kind of coupon. It's just...
Oh, just flat sale. Oh.
Just flat, nice. 25% off sale.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that. Well, and speaking of things that may involve coupons, there's the Humble Bundle for this... One of the Humble Bundles for this month is the Warhammer Rogue Trader set of books.
The old one.
Yeah.
Older one.
Yeah, the one... So everything that Fantasy Flight produced is now owned by Cubicle 7, right, and they're marking them, their imprint. Their imprint is on them, and they're selling digital versions on their store. I'm not sure if they're going to do print on demand or anything of that version, but that's the kind of D100, Fantasy Flight.
The one that has the crazy injury tables where your head just explodes. Yeah,
right.
That people go crazy for.
But this is 23 books, like PDFs of the 23 books that they released. So there's a huge amount of inspiration for the setting, and like you were doing with Death Watch.
Yep.
I'm really curious because I'm still playing around with the idea. I don't know if Powered by the Apocalypse is the system that I want to do, or now that I've had more experience with the Year Zero.
Right. Okay.
That may be actually something that works because they're going to do an open game license for Year Zero. That's coming up. That was part of the last Kickstarter. But so I'm still thinking about that. And I love that setting so much because it's, not the super heroic, not the super demonic. You're just guys trying to turn a cheap buck that happened to be, associated with someone.
Oh, Rogue Trader. Yeah, Rogue Trader. Right. I was mistaking that with Inquisitor. Not super demonic. I'm like, what? I'm like, right, because it's Rogue Trader.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just, you've got that rite of passage or essentially whatever, and you just kind of, you're that warrior merchant. Like, go out and make yourself a buck.
Yes. You can mess around in cultures and civilizations and deal with, Xeno technology and trade it on the black market and to make your fortune. So I like that setting a lot because it's very...
Star Trek, but with gothic skulls and no prime directive.
Right. Yes.
Oh, it's a capitalist version of Star Trek,
But speaking of coupons, if you do get that bundle, they give you a 20% off coupon for Cubicle 7.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up at the end that's kind of tied to the beginning is we had a comment on YouTube. And
we actually read it again.
And we read this comment. And the comment was, quote, "There are too many cis white males in gaming," unquote. "You lost me right there. Unsubscribed."
I believe that was me who said that original thing.
Yes, and that was you. And the funny thing is, so that was someone that just, kind of got turned off by you saying that. But the interesting thing is you were saying that in terms of how that caused a problem, like being too close to a project and trying to think in, political ways that you wanted to see in gaming actually made what you were working on the opposite.
Right. Yeah. The little kind of alien UFO kind of catcher game where I said, I'm not going to have any white people because there needs to be more representation, and realized I had turned it into a minority collection game.
Right.
Like, that will, no. Right. Yeah, that won't work. Yeah.
But it's interesting that the listener, just you saying that phrase, he was so sensitive to that. I think the goal and the kind of idea of this podcast is as many voices as possible. I think we've got a good variety of
then people. I don't think we're succeeding on that because that's usually the two of us.
Right. But not specifically this podcast, but Idle Red Hands in general. I think the goal for Idle Red Hands in general is to include, because we're definitely going to be a mixed group of expats, and it's going to be people from different backgrounds and different ideas. We've had a lot of interesting voices on the podcast, and I think to kind of prejudge people based on, their political leanings or their ethnicity or anything is a mistake in gaming, because before I met you, so we met playing Netrunner.
Oh, yeah.
But if I was introduced to you as SJW Chris, I'd be like, I don't know how much I'm going to hang around this
So way. It's a good thing you didn't meet me when my Twitter handle was like SJW Deva, based on the old Vampire the Requiem artist clan. Yeah.
Right. My experience with you in gaming has been immensely enriching. I mean, the systems and the settings and things that you've introduced me to, it's been a really, beneficial relationship to my kind of expanding and understanding kind of what's out there and enjoying things beyond, D&D and Traveler and, old school RPGs. It would be a shame that anything got in the way of that. And I think people need to think about that, especially when they're listening to this podcast. Okay, you don't agree with somebody you're listening to, but there's other voices. And I think you got to have people with different opinions involved in your hobby to kind of call you on your bullshit, because otherwise you're just going to get into these kind of ruts, and that you're not really going to experiment. You're going to play the same old thing. You're going to run a campaign for 10 years that you're just doing the same damn thing all the time and not really considering what else this hobby could be doing or what else you could bring to the tabletop.
Right. No, I'm actually going to cry a little bit. Thank you. I like gaming with you too.
Okay.
No, Before I saw that comment, mm-hmm. there was actually a kind of a discussion on Twitter based on, I think someone posted up something in response to there being a call for, essentially, non-cishet white guy gaming spaces or groups at conventions, I think was the mm-hmm. gist of it. And this person said, why do you need to do that? That's kind of, you know, exclusionary. And I can totally see their point, but there were a lot of good responses about saying, okay, if your goal is to make the hobby more inclusive, mm-hmm. you have to provide a space for people who don't feel comfortable playing with cishet white guys, mm-hmm. a space where they can kind of not have to worry about that. And of course, they were thinking about that, and I guess maybe getting into some personal stuff. Other people I was talking to, one person said that, okay, the problem there is if you're closeted, at least in part of like the LGBT plus thing, you might look like a cishet white guy. Mm-hmm. And are you then going to get excluded from that group? And it's kind of a catch 22 where, okay, if you know you're not cishet white guy, then you can just say, okay, I'm not. Can I join the group, please? Mm-hmm. If you don't know, maybe you wouldn't know to go to that group, or you wouldn't even want to play. Because, I mean, I played female characters for years mm-hmm. with this group before something kind of clicked on and went, oh, that's why I play female characters so often. So prior to that realization, I don't know if I personally would have thought about even joining that group. I'd have been like, oh, okay, you kind of don't want me. After the fact, yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to join that group. I guess getting to the safety thing, I've not had any problems here. But there have been a couple times when I've intended to go to the once a month Sunday game group that I sometimes run and play in as female. And on the way there, I kind of just said, I don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's going to be there.
Right.
I don't know what kind of reaction I'm going to get. I've not had a negative reaction yet, so there's no precedent for that to happen, but there's always that chance, and I just kind of don't want to deal with it. So I absolutely understand wanting to have a group where you wouldn't have to worry about that. If I knew that the group I was going to was LGBT+, or there's no cishet white guys in this group, I would have not had a problem showing up. Yeah. And it's not... And I said before, I've not even had any kind of negative reaction to have that experience where I'm going, oh, there's going to be a problem. Just the possibility of something happening, making me go, I really just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's an obstacle to the hobby, that really sucks. And I think the frustration with tabletop is its origins are the predilections and the kind of evolution of tabletop role playing is a cis white het hobby. It came from wargaming. It came from simulating historic battles. And then it came from, hey, wait, maybe let's remove this from the actual history because we spend all the time arguing historical fact and actually play a game. And so let's simulate, you know, role play, and then let's simulate fantasy so that it's one level removed so we aren't going to argue about anything that happens because anything can happen.
So now we're arguing about stuff that didn't actually happen.
Right. That's where it came from. So some people want it to stay there. You know, that they want some ownership of that. And like I was saying, it is always going to be better to broaden the audience. You're going to get opinions and things that you didn't expect and actually enrich, you know, what you're doing. I think because of the origins and because of the origins of the hobby, there is always going to be that. People that are going to be, you know, kind of resistant or reluctant to want to include anything that they don't see as part of that.
Yeah, it's also tradition. And I kind of get it. It's also kind of hard because I've seen a couple like art calls or writing calls, and the creator has specifically said, I'm specifically looking for people of color or LGBT, whatever. Right. And you invariably have people saying, well, why can't I pitch my thing? Mm-hmm. And the short answer is because you could pitch it anywhere else and like be accepted. And that's and it came out kind of flippantly, but that's the truth. Like, mm-hmm. And it goes with game groups. You could play virtually anywhere else. You could walk up to any other table just about and play at that game mm-hmm. and not really have to worry about stuff. But at the same time, I understand where if whatever call says, not you.
Yes.
It is easy to get defensive and go, well, why not me?
Right.
And that's the blunt way of phrasing it, where I guess, and I mean, arguments can be made about, okay, if you're going to quibble about how things are worded, then you're not really tackling the issue. Mm-hmm. But another way to word it is, we need more these type of people.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot easier to just say, hey, no cishet white guys. But, I mean, the same meaning is more non-cishet white guys, please shoot for this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is difficult because you do. You run right back into the exclusion. Like as soon as you say, well, we kind of want things to be this way, you know, and then you're excluding. So
it's the tricky thing there, and it does look like exclusion. The only kind of satisfying answer I've come to is this side is exclusion because you're telling people or the message is, I don't want to play with you because of who you are. Mm-hmm. The reason why the other side is not exclusion is because we are doing this because we feel safer without you.
Mm.
And that's the distinction you kind of have to make. And it's unfortunate where it's like, yeah, you know what? I've seen any number of Twitter threads where it's been like people of color only games and them talking about how great they felt because they didn't have to worry about what other people were going to think or how they were going to react. And there's kind of like a level of freedom that they hadn't experienced when they are the only person of color at the table or the only woman at the table, where it's just like not having to deal with that is why we are doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's not we don't want you, it's we want to play with people like ourselves so that we're not scared, essentially.
I think a little bit of that has been kind of perpetuated or exaggerated, I guess, by the current political climate, because I think the same way that LGBT plus people are judged and like, I'm not comfortable by cis het groups, they're looked at as I'm not comfortable with that. It's becoming I'm not comfortable with cis white het because I have this image of how they're going to treat me. Mm-hmm. And it's only the real life experience that actually diffuses that. And you just realize, wow, people are okay. Yeah, they're not.
Generally speaking. Yeah.
So they're not going to do what I thought they would do, or they, you know, had a surprising reaction. So we're in such a funny bubble because this expat group is a specific kind of person, I guess. Mm. And so we've got a lot of variation of background and ethnicity, but basically the kind of people that live outside their culture and are comfortable being in Japan are a certain kind of person. Yeah. And I think to be able to accept Japanese culture, you're a more accepting, open person anyhow, because it's opposite of most people's.
Yeah. Or at least to accept Japanese culture beyond the anime bullcrap that goes on. Yeah,
right. So please do not be deterred. Do not be turned off by anything you hear, because it is only one of several voices of the
podcast. Or if you are, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you are that sensitive to it, just go somewhere where they're reinforcing your worldview and your predilections. And that's fine, because it's all out there. I mean, there's a huge variety. But we are walking this horrible middle line where you are punished on both sides from having a variety of viewpoints. So how can people reach you?
On Twitter. As always, that's Hivemind, HYVEMYND. You can follow my threads as I live tweet the horrible Tamer book series and develop, Hot Alien Survivors on Planet Dinosaur, TTRPG.
And I do a weekly single panel gag cartoon. AbuseCartoons.com is the website. Abuse Cartoons. And if you want to follow the cartoon, at Abuse Cartoons on Twitter. And if you'd like to get more Idle Red Hands, please visit IdleRedHands.com. Follow Idle Red Hands on Twitter at Idle Red Hands. And also we have a Twitch channel and a YouTube channel. Videos and live streams go there. And if you would like to be more involved in the podcast and actually support us, hear us more often, and tell us what you would like to hear and kind of shape the direction of the podcast, please visit Patreon.com/IdleRedHands. So that's all for this week. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Goodbye. Out of life.